God damn it! I get it!
It was just crap. It was terrible.
I was titillated.
I know you want to go.
No, I slept with like three girls a night and no one ever said anything.
Dude!
Oh god, you guys are disgusting.
Boring.
So boring.
That is an amazing film.
Ooh, I love me some Statham.
That's a little bit of brilliance that just came out of your mouth there, Justin. I like it.
Do you want to keep going?
Welcome back to another fun-filled episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here with my three best pals, Randy, Justin, Amanda. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Fabulous.
Spectacular.
And you nailed the order. Sweet. I said I'm out of order, but you replied just like that. You guys are on it today. I like it.
Professionals, Dave.
Yeah. Yeah, three of you guys have to be. I hold carry my ass through this thing. So let's just get it started. Hey, Randy, there's this little independent movie coming out that they finally got a title. So aside from irritating me having to go back through all the other posts and retitle things, why don't you tell us about it?
So I think this happened like just after our podcast last week, because it feels like forever ago that this announcement was made. But Episode 7 has an official title, The Force Awakens, or TFA for short. Ooh. And when I first heard it, It kind of didn't sit the right way with me. I don't know. It didn't feel like Star Wars. And even the teaser image that they showed, which is just kind of like the Star Wars logo with The Force Awakens written in between Star and Wars, it didn't look like Star Wars to me. And I've had about a week to think about it now. It's growing on me a little bit, but a lot of titles kind of affected me the same way. I thought Attack of the Clones was incredibly cheesy, and the title doesn't really live up to the actual events in the movie, so I don't know. And I know that was a big Lucas thing with his real kind of gimmicky titles.
Wait a second, are you saying Attack of the Clones doesn't pull up with the whole third act being the clones attacking?
Okay, Attack of the Clones makes you think of something like Attack of the Killer Tomatoes or something like that. It's ominous, they're attacking all the way through. Here, everything attacks before the clones finally fight back. They don't really attack, they retaliate.
Yeah.
Is that a fair assessment?
And when I hear Attack of the Clones, it makes it sound like they're the bad guys.
Exactly, yeah.
It's misleading. It's like it's a misnomer.
You guys are nuts.
So The Force Awakens, which also brings the image that apparently the Force has been asleep for the last 30 years since the events of Return of the Jedi, and I'm sure it'll feed into the plot of the movie nicely. I think it must tie things together, but for now, it's a solid meh on my scale.
There was on Twitter, there was a hashtag better Star Wars titles. Huh. People went to town.
Oh, I can imagine.
I still don't even know who the Phantom Menace was.
Nobody does. Is it Sidious? Is it Maul?
Is it Anakin?
I'm going to say it's Jar Jar.
Yes, Jar Jar. But playing off kind of what you said, Randy, I think that the title would have been much more well-received had, instead of that just little blank title card, if they had just given us like a tease, like, you know, Luke in a Jedi robe, or Han with his blaster next to Chewie, or, you know, nothing, you know, spoilery or that even would be graphics intensive, just like a still from like the set of like Han and Leia and Luke together in costume.
Or even some of the concept art that we've already seen that's already leaked, you know? Just something fun. And, I mean, okay, so when you hear the title The Force Awakens, it makes you think that, okay, cool. Whereas in the previous trilogy, which I guess is the original trilogy, there were very few Jedi. Now it sounds like maybe there's going to be a resurgence of them with The Force Awakening. I don't know.
It's not the Jedi Awakened. I won't bitch too much, I guess. I love Star Wars, and the movie's going to be amazing.
We give you a platform to bitch, and you're not going to do it?
No, I got to save that for when you start talking about Interstellar.
This is your show. You have What?
Unlike everyone else, I like the title Attack of the Clones, because it goes, their titles go, there's the first of the trilogy, the second of the trilogy, and the third of the trilogy, and they all kind of match. A New Hope and A Phantom Menace, it's kind of an ambiguous, nice little title. Then you have The Empire Strikes Back and Attack of the Clones, which are very kind of action-driven, you know, titles. And then you have Return of the Jedi and Revenge of the Sith, which are kind of like branching off finale-type titles. And this one, it's ambiguous, so it does fit in with A New Hope and A Phantom Menace, but I just, just doesn't get my goat going like the others did. Like, I liked Revenge of the Sith, and I mean, I was there in San Diego when they announced Revenge of the Sith, and I went batshit crazy like everyone else at Hall H. And Attack of the Clones, I thought was a fun little title.
How about that?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that. I'm okay with it. I don't really care. I just want Star Wars.
Yeah, Rand and I were texting back and forth, and he said, I'm just going to call it Episode 7.
Yeah, that's what we do for all the other ones, right?
Yeah.
Unless it's the original trilogy, we call it Episode 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah.
And we're even kind of getting into the habit of calling the original trilogy by their episode name, too.
Right.
That's what you do.
That's, yeah, we say A New Hope, or Empire Strikes Back, or Jedi. Mm. Right? I just call it Jedi. I don't even call anything else.
Yeah.
I call it Empire and Jedi. Called Star Wars, then Empire, then Jedi.
There you go. And you would not be incorrect.
And then Episodes 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
And now it was called Episode 7. Sounds cooler.
Sir. Rocky 5.
Thousand. Yeah, I don't know. I think when you start getting into... Maybe that's why they're not... That's another thing that kind of drew the attention of Star Wars fans online, too. The artwork or poster art... Even the revealing titles for the episodes 1, 2, and 3, it was very episode heavy. It said Star Wars, episode blank in big letters, and then the name of the film, you know. And they went away from episode number blah, blah, blah for this. So people are speculating, well, maybe that's because they're kind of going a clean slate. They want to step away from the moniker of episode blank because people associate that with the prequels. And I could see that. But,
which were amazing.
Amazingly terrible. I like everything about the prequels except for Anakin. I hate him in Phantom Menace. Can't stand him in Attack of the Clones. And he's just a whiny little bitch in Revenge of the Sith.
He's got like Benjamin Button disease. He gets whinier the older he gets. Yeah, like he ages backwards.
I don't emotionally. Like it. Even when he's Vader, he's crying. I don't get it. It's like, dude, suck it up, man. Be a bad guy.
You're an awesome Jedi. There's nothing in this is sad.
And quit making empty promises you can't keep, son.
Yeah, he didn't want to be a bad guy for some reason.
Yeah, he's like the worst bad guy ever.
Or Lucas decided that he wasn't going to be a bad guy. He was going to be misunderstood.
Oh. Emo Vader.
Well, if you believe Lucas, that was a plan all along.
I don't. I think he's making it up as he goes.
It's funny how people remember things differently.
It's like that game Telephone.
Hmm.
Except he's just playing with himself.
He's like, wait, what did I have planned again? Oh, yeah.
It's like, it was a genius plan. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Well, I think the title's all right. I mean, I'm still going to see it.
Right.
Many times.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. So Justin and I were fortunate enough this weekend to go to BlizzCon, Blizzard Entertainment's yearly convention where they show off all the latest and greatest of Blizzard Entertainment, you know, be it Diablo, StarCraft. This year they unveiled a new game called Overwatch. But what got my goat most excited, because I'm a movie guy, was Duncan Jones was there showing some concept art and unveiling the characters that were going to appear in the Warcraft movie. And then Justin and I got to go to a special little screening where they showed two clips. They showed one kind of probably about a two-minute unfinished effects sizzle reel to where we saw a lot of just like random clips put together. They were pretty far along in the post-production process, so they looked good, but you could tell they weren't completely done. Like the faces weren't as emotive as they could be. And then they showed us this 20 to 30 second clip of Durotan, the orc. All he's doing is he's sitting in a hut and he's like kind of watching his pregnant wife sleep. And just his face was exactly like in like Planet of the Apes when you see like the apes just their faces can tell a story because they're so well done. The motion capture is so incredible. And just I could tell exactly what he was feeling looking at his pregnant wife because it was so well done. And I could see the reflection off of his eye. I could see every hair on his body moving. And it was just very, maybe very optimistic for what we're going to see in 2016 in March for the Warcraft movie. What about you, Justin? Did you have the same kind of feeling when you saw that 30-second little piece at the end?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The expressions that were on Durotan's face were amazing. It did remind me of Planet of the Apes when Caesar goes from, like, serious to just super frustrated, crazy Jailhouse Rock face.
Yeah. And it was, so yeah, it was cool, Randy. We got like clips of like Dalaran, and there was like High Elves, and the movie is going to be very mage heavy, which should make you happy, because we're going to get Medivh, we're going to get Khadgar, and so there's just going to be so many. I think mages are going to kind of F stuff up, and it's, every time I watch it, I'm almost like, oh man, Randy's going to love this, because it's going to be all about mages, I think. But real quick, just to go down the cast that they announced that Travis Fimmel from Vikings, he's going to play Anduin Lothar. He's going to be our main character on the Alliance side. Duncan Jones, the director, made it very clear that he received Sam Raimi's draft, who was the original director on Warcraft, and it was very Alliance heavy. Like the, it was Alliance good guys, Horde bad guys. And when Duncan Jones saw it, he was like, well, this game is about players who play both sides. And so the movie is going to be 50% Alliance, 50% Horde. And so then on the Horde side, the main character is going to be Durotan, played by Toby Kebbell, who did all of the who was Koba. He did the motion capture for Koba in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Did an amazing job. But probably the standout who actually was on stage was a guy named Rob Kaczynski, who's going to play Orgrim Doomhammer, and he came out there, and he's holding the big old axe, and he just charmed the pants off the crowd. So, yeah, I, as you can tell by my fast speech, I'm pretty excited about it. What do you think, Randy, about everything you've heard about Warcraft, the movie? Is it something that's exciting you, especially now that you know it's going to be mage-heavy?
You know, even before I knew it was going to be mage-heavy, I was pretty excited about it. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm not big on Warcraft lore. I didn't play the games before World of Warcraft, so I'm not as knowledgeable about a lot of pivotal characters as you guys are. But, you know, rather than reading up on lore or playing the old games, I'm actually looking forward to being introduced to them in the form of a movie. Yeah. Give me video games, longest cinematic in the world. We'll call it a Warcraft movie, and I will eat it up.
You'll get the novelization on audio tape.
There you go.
On cassette. Yeah.
Get it. On cassette. Make it an 8-track, and you're sold.
Yeah. They had some costumes on set, too, that looked, or not on set, but there at BlizzCon. They looked nuts.
Yeah.
Spared no expense. And I think it was a big old hammer that he had, not an axe.
Didn't I say hammer?
You said axe.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was Doomhammer, which is Orgrim's actual weapon. So I apologize if I misspoke, and it was his big giant mace.
Not and if you misspoke, and you did misspoke.
I'm going to have to go back to the tape. So, but it was cool, and it was funny because Justin and I were talking before, and we were talking about like how awesome the cinematics are in World of Warcraft, and we'd love to see like a movie about that. And he was talking about how the orcs are all big in the cinematics, and we're like, I hope they're big in this. And then it comes out with this just giant freaking
gorilla.
Not
ass. Yeah.
Yeah, so it definitely gave us an idea of scope. Now, Amanda, you don't play World of Warcraft. Do you have any – is this a movie that excites you, or are you just like, meh?
Nope, don't care.
Dang.
Not. So we know World of Warcraft is going to be coming out in March of 2016, Paul Sams, who is the COO, Chief Operating Officer of Blizzard Entertainment, every year he gives the closing ceremony speech, and he actually, I don't know if he let slip or if he just, without any kind of preamble, announced the date of March 11th, 2016. It's a Friday. It would be 2 weeks before Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. So that would make it's going to make March a pretty sweet month. We're going to get Warcraft and Batman v Superman. So start saving your money now. So you guys excited about that Suicide Squad movie coming out? David Ayer directing it? Jared Leto might be the Joker in Suicide Squad, joining the ranks of, you know, past greats like Heath Ledger, Jack Nicholson. And my brain just exploded. I'm sorry from that massive fail there. But, yeah, Jared Leto Joker. Amanda, does that excite you? You like 30 Seconds to Mars, right?
I don't think I even know what that is.
Band.
Oh. It's a band. He's the lead singer of it. He's an awesome. He's an actor.
Oh.
Do you like Jared Leto?
I don't care about Jared Leto.
All right. Randy, did you see Dallas Buyers Club? Do you like Jared Leto? He's an amazing talent, right?
I didn't see it, and I don't care either.
That's great. He won an Oscar last year for transforming himself into a transsexual hooker with AIDS, and you tell him you don't care?
Mm-mm.
He has to do his trans shit.
For that?
Yeah.
He did. He was outright amazing. He was like the only sure bet. All right. Justin, come on. Let's bring this podcast up. I can't be the only one who loves Jared Leto here.
You're not. I love Jared Leto, too.
I don't like how long his hair is.
Oh, my God. And
I don't like men with long hair.
And I don't either. And you would have hated BlizzCon because every asshole there had a wicked PT, man. It was nuts. Ponytails for days. And
we counted them. We're in line waiting for stuff, and we're like, why don't guys still have ponytails?
Yeah. Fucking 7 million subscribers play World of Warcraft, and almost the entire male population has a ponytail. It's nuts. But I am excited about Jared Leto. I had sort of a crush on him when he was in my so-called life. He was Jordan Catalano.
He was.
Opposite of Claire Danes. And a fine young man. He wore a choker. Remember when those were cool?
Did it have like a shark tooth on it?
Maybe. He got from Baja. Uh-huh, California.
Oh, shred.
Shit. But no, I like Jared Leto, man. In fact, when Fight Club came out, I was like, holy shit, dude, that's Jared Leto. And I kind of forgot about him for a while. And then 30 Seconds to Mars made me remember who he was. And then, obviously, Dallas Buyers Club. He was remarkable in that movie. And good stuff. The man's got some chops. Some action chops, and I think that he could pull that off. And, you know, if this is a Suicide Squad movie, Joker's role might not necessarily be all that big. I mean, he'll definitely be in it, and, you know, we'll get our fill of him, but I think they might do well to have a less is more approach with
him. Yeah, and I think what really helps Jared Leto, why he's such an amazing actor, is he is so transformative, and he really puts himself into the roles. And I think that's really, like Heath Ledger's Joker. You know, that only works because Heath Ledger, like, he went for it. And so, you know, to be this completely insane, outlandish character, you kind of have to just be one of those actors who can, like, be in the moment and be that guy. So I'm pretty excited. So, Randy, you don't like Jared Leto. What do you like big-breasted, pretty blondes?
Who doesn't?
All right. Now you said you hadn't seen Wolf of Wall Street, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So Margot Robbie, who was in Wolf of Wall Street, is confirmed to be playing Miss Harley Quinn in the Suicide Squad movie. Does that excite you more, Randy? Harley Quinn.
That does excite me more. I would very much like to see a cinematic adaptation of that character, because we have yet to see one.
Puddin'.
Yeah, so Jared Leto isn't 100% confirmed. He's in deep negotiations.
Deep in enemy territory.
In a deep south. Robbie is confirmed.
Robbie. You say Robbie, I say Robbie.
It's got two B's, so
potato,
I think.
Potato, potato.
Robbie. No one says potato.
I do.
But it's shaping up to be a pretty good movie. Tom Hardy's going to be in it. Will Smith is going to be in it. And so those are both pretty decent actors.
Tom Hardy's playing Bane again?
I don't think so. I think he's going to play a different DC character, but
Monkey
they haven't announced.
Work.
So. Monkey work.
Ron Bane is all.
He played Bane once.
Huh. Once. So just one little movie news. I thought that Toy Story 3 wrapped up the story of Buzz, Woody, and the gang pretty well, but apparently when you have a $1 billion franchise, you don't leave that kind of money on the table. So, Amanda, what would you say if I told you Toy Story 4 coming 2017?
I don't care.
Oh, my God.
I do not care about Toy Story.
Been three of them.
Do you have no heart?
And the third one ended perfectly. Why? Why do you need to revisit that? If you're going to do another Toy Story movie, I say get a completely new group of toys and tell a completely different story. Start it over. Not necessarily a reboot, just like an offshoot, a tangent.
Yeah, well, I mean, Toy Story 3 did conclude the story pretty well, but we've had four animated shorts that take place after Toy Story 3 that have all been cute. So, I mean, I'm assuming that they're going to continue having the little girl from the end of Toy Story. Whoa. They have the little girl from Toy Story 3 continue to be our human, you know, as little part as they have. So, Justin, are you a cynical asshole like the other two, or are you excited for Toy Story 4? Or do you hate Toys and Happiness like Randy?
No, I love Toys and Happiness. Remember, we think Randy is like that evil Sid kid from next door.
That's right.
He's the one blowing his shit up. And he pays big money for toys so he can rip them open out of the package and blow them up.
Hey, Randy, we're all about toys, and this is a movie about toys coming to life. How is this not in your wheelhouse?
Oh, I don't get me wrong. I love the Toy Story movies. I will watch another Toy Story movie. I just think you wrapped up the story so perfectly in the last movie. Why are you going to put it out there on the line and possibly tarnish how that last one ended if this one doesn't turn out good? Granted, I know it's Pixar. I know it's Disney. And generally, anything that they do together turns out well. You know, you don't get a shitty Pixar movie. But
first two.
Well, okay, touche, I guess. but it still made a bunch of money.
Yeah, also, absolutely. Each Toy Story movie is pretty much exactly the same.
What?
It's just they're just slightly different. It's just what? They're just telling the same story over and over and over again.
Oh my god. In that they're separated from their owner.
Yeah.
From their kid.
Yeah.
That's why they have adventures. It's not an adventure if they're just hanging out in the house with Andy.
Right.
They gotta get out into the big world.
They could do like a Home Alone where the house is being burglarized and they gotta stop the intruders.
Justin, stop and write that on paper now. I want to see that.
They could do that. I'm an idea man, Michael.
And that is a great idea. You need to send that to John Lasseter like ASAP before they're too deep into the writing process.
They don't take submissions.
Oh. Well, damn.
He's already looked into it.
It is a pretty sweet idea, though. I'm pretty proud of myself.
Well, I'm thinking, well, it's probably too late for Toy Story 4, but that could be a Toy Story 5. I could totally see that. Or even, like, maybe the little girl thinks, like, she's the Macaulay Culkin character, but the toys are doing all the work. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good idea, Justin. You just made yourself a bunch of money, I think. Yeah. Or just gave someone a bunch of money idea.
Yeah, I think you just signed off a bunch of money to somebody else.
I'm okay with that. I like giving away ideas.
I'm just saying, if we get a trailer and that's the thing, then we need to play this podcast. And just be like, wow, Justin sees the future.
Timestamp it. We got to mail it to ourselves. Registered
yeah.
mail.
Yeah.
Poor man's copyright.
I think the internet timestamps it for us.
Yeah.
Love the post. John Lasseter, who directed Toy Story 1 and 2, he's going to return to direct Toy Story 4. A lot of the big names in Pixar, like the directors of like Up and WALL-E, all the emotional Toy Stories, they wrote the screenplay, and all signs point to Tim Allen and Tom Hanks returning to play Buzz and Woody. So there you go. So that's really all I got about movies. I think that's it for movies, right? There was nothing else, no big movies?
I wish, Dave, but unfortunately for us, we sat through a three-hour nonsensical space adventure, and I am not terribly impressed. Interstellar, of course, this is Mr. Christopher Nolan's new film, and his brother helped him write it, Mr. Jonathan Nolan. And not impressed at all. I don't know how hardcore we want to get with spoilers, but most of you know that it's a group of explorers that are trying to save the human race by traveling through a newly discovered wormhole, correct? We all know that?
Yeah. Well, why don't we, Randy and Amanda, are you guys okay if we talk spoilers?
Yep.
Go for it.
Okay, so let's give a spoiler warning. You got 5 seconds before Justin's about to blow your top with some fucking knowledge. 3 seconds.
It's all right,
Justin. Hit him with both barrels.
Holy shit. Okay, so this movie, it goes through this whole idea that the entire time I'm watching it, I'm thinking that they are sticking to the laws of physics and what we know of known space. And all this accepted theory that's out there gets thrown out the window, and it totally ruins the entire movie. The tone of the film goes all over the goddamn place. It has this whole gleam of hope, and we're going to save the world, and then it turns out to be one big lie. There is no way to save the world. There's this idea that there are these other beings out there that are trying to show us the way, but and we even make so quasi-contact with these other beings, and then it all goes out the window again, and it just shoots you in the face with absurdity. Matthew McConaughey actually travels through a black hole and survives, which drives me nuts because I think that's stupid. If like,
and he ejects.
He ejects. Oh yes, he ejects. He's in his little spacecraft. He travels through a black hole and ejects. His computer says eject, so he does. And when he does, he ends up inside the wall of his house back home. How crazy shit is that? I don't even know what to do anymore. So now I'm laughing. I'm in the theater. I'm laughing. Everyone's like, what's going on? Me and Dave look at each other, and I'm just cracking up because there's this whole idea that there's this ghost in the house. But the whole time, the fucking ghost is Matthew McConaughey, because he's been trapped in this bookcase on the other side of the bookcase communicating with his daughter, and it's absurd. This whole idea is the only thing that you can't travel through time, but gravity can, and that's where the black hole comes in. And it's just absurd.
So he's been in the wall the entire time.
Yes. And then on top of that,
he survive?
Oh, who gives a shit? We're past that by now. Okay.
Well, he's a fifth dimensional being, so he can be in every time and at once. So even though he's in the future, he can see her in the past
and communicate with her.
Well, yeah.
And on top of the whole time this is happening, I swear to God, because you can see this little girl. Because it's jumping back and forth through time, right? It's a little girl, then it's her as an adult, and it's just jumping back and forth as they're communicating. And the entire time, she keeps getting closer and closer to the bookcase. I thought for sure he was going to jump out of the bookcase in his spaceman suit, like fucking Kool-Aid Man, and be like, oh yeah, I'm home. and that would have made more sense. But instead, he travels back through the bookcase, back up where he came, and he's floating around in space. And he just so happens to come to a crossroads where a spaceship is coming, and they grab him, and they bring him in, and now he's like 120-something years old, and on top of that, he gets to leave that space station after being recuperated, chatting with his daughter, that's now a billion years old, too, and he goes back and meets up with fucking Catwoman. What's her name?
Anne Hathaway
on the planet that she's colonized.
I was gonna say Halle Berry.
So now we're jumping through time like a son of a bitch. That means that she hasn't aged at all either. And on top of that, he's gonna be able to get back to her, and both of them still be the same age. And it's gonna be a happily ever after ending. It is such bullshit.
And he skipped completely over Matt Damon showing up out of nowhere as the bad guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I forgot about Matt Damon. So. Breaking it down real quick, there was this idea that they can save the world, and they're going to send off 12. 10 years ago, they had sent off 12 astronauts, 12 brilliant minds to go to colonize these different planets and figure out which one's going to work best. And they were going to ping these little messages, and whoever's communication was still responding, it would be their best bet as to which one they could inhabit. So then they visit these other planets. They're able to visit three of them. And on one of the planets is fucking Matt Damon. And he is just such a coward that he doesn't want to die, that he said that his planet was going to work and be habitable. But he just didn't want to die. He wanted someone to come and save him, then he was going to jump back in the ship and take off. That's just how fucking Looney Tunes that is, right? And they end up making it to the right planet. Well, she does, because he ejects into a wormhole, or into the wormhole, not the wormhole, the black hole, and goes back into the bookcase. And then still exits the... Of course, nothing can escape a black hole, right? But fucking Matthew McConaughey can. His super little spacesuit allows him to get back out of the black hole, even though light can't escape it, and black holes destroy planets and stars and all kinds of shit. He's able to come out on the other side.
I can already see like the spoof Lincoln commercials, like, I was escaping through black holes before I was paid to do it.
Yeah, he is the most interesting man. And fucking, on top of that, there's this other part where, when they touch down this one planet, that gravity is such a... Time slows down so fast for them that one of the astronauts that they leave behind on the ship is by himself for 23 years. And they're only gone for like a couple, like 3 hours. And they come back and 23 years have happened. And the guy is all by himself and he's alone. And I don't know any asshole that could survive by themselves without talking to another human being for that long. You would go crazy. It'd be cabin fever times a billion.
Even Randy.
I mean, I would just think that normal human nature would make him want to just either leave or kill himself. Yeah, it's just absurd to me that this guy is still fine. Even if let's just pretend for a second that he is alive, he would not be a normal person. He would have a Wilson on his ship. And he was, you know what I mean?
He had the robot. Yeah. Well, no, they took the robot with
them. They took the robot.
For comic relief.
That's another thing. This robot, I couldn't take seriously. It was the most ridiculous robot ever. It was like this giant rectangle that would split apart and make these legs. and it ran so stupidly. It was just absurd. And I couldn't take the movie seriously. And the entire time it was supposed to have like this serious tone, this realistic tone. And I'm watching, I'm trying to convince myself, yeah, this could happen. This could happen. And they keep throwing these fucking curveballs my way. And I'm just laughing. I swear to God, I am laughing in this movie theater. We got this full movie theater and I'm the only asshole that's just thinking it's absurd. Everyone starts laughing eventually. But I don't know what it was. Maybe I was just, my voice carries. I don't know. Maybe everyone was just chuckling in their seats. I look on IMDb, it has a 9.1, and I think it's fucking rigged. There's no way.
It's assholes thinking they want, like, wanting to be smarter than they are. Let me describe the robot to you guys. Picture the monolith from 2001, A Space Odyssey. Now imagine all of a sudden it had two, it, like, segmented in, like, the middle, so it had, like, two legs and walked. But it still walked like, a giant hunk of steel.
It was funny. Like, I liked what it had to say.
What was the point of it?
They're, like, onboard intelligence. You know, he was the one who, like, regulated their computers and stuff. Like, he was the HAL for you 2001 A Space Odyssey nuts.
Oh, my God. It was so bad, guys. It was fucking terrible.
And yeah. I was lucky enough to see it with Justin. I would say, like, for, like, the first, like, 90 minutes, I was like, it's kind of a slow, deliberate pace, but it was... Everything was going in one direction, so it was kind of a nice little movie. You know, it could have gone a little bit faster. But, like, so Justin's made the analogy of, like, Fringe a lot, that, like, they say, like, the craziest shit, but the way they say it, you're like, oh, I can believe that. And this kind of had that vibe for a little bit, to where they were making all of these rules. They were building – they were in their sandbox, and they were creating a scientific rule structure for things that are way above our intellectual capacity. And they stayed within the framework of science for so long, and then all of a sudden the third act, which was probably like the sixth act, it was not a three-act movie, all of a sudden everything went out the window with what Justin was talking about, the fucking just diving through the black hole and shit. So
yeah, everything that we have ever watched, anything that Bill Nye, the science guy, has ever said is just thrown out the window. the laws of the universe just get flipped on their head, as you know it. And that's fine and dandy. That's science being science, and people get proven wrong every day, right? But it was just a little bit too absurd for me. Especially when it took this tone of being so serious. And I liked how there was this idea that they were trying to save the world, but there was no way to save it. Yeah, they eventually go that route. Like, it's over. We're done. The human race is going to die on this planet, and that's all there is to it. And then it changes course.
Because Matthew McConaughey sent the Morse code message through a bookshelf to his daughter 124 years in the past. And then when she was 40, she got the watch. And then she saw the watch was acting funny. And that was him giving her Morse code and exact coordinates so they could save the world. No bullshit.
I'm so glad I didn't watch this movie.
Yeah, me too.
And she's a total bitch to Matthew McConaughey. And all of a sudden, she hates him like her whole life. And then all of a sudden, she's like, oh... He was my ghost. Oh, I love you, Dad. I'm going to fix this for you.
Yeah. Credits.
Yeah.
Horrible. You guys know that I'm not really that big of a sci-fi nerd. You know, I like Starship Troopers. I like some episodes of Star Trek. And I like Star Wars. I'm pretty hard-pressed to find something else that I really, really, really like. I ended up liking... what was that one? Edge of Tomorrow. I really like that movie, but...
Oh, yeah.
We got a trailer for this movie called Chappie, and it is written and directed by Neil Blomkamp, and he's the guy that brought us District 9 and what was that other movie?
Elysium,
yeah, which I actually didn't like. I hated that movie. But he has this way of storytelling that just reminds me that people suck. Like, human beings, we just do horrible shit, and we make bad choices, and we're mean, and... It's just not right, and it's terrible. I mean, it's almost like we're all inherently evil, right? We have a switch. We can try and be good, but all of us have a dark side, right? And he does a very good job of showing us that people are just downright terrible. In District 9, we were torturing aliens, for crying out loud. Just things that came to visit us, and we collect them and experiment on them and murder them and kill their kids. That's District 9. So now, fast forward to Chappie, which is this new movie, which follows this robot that has got this artificial intelligence, right? and he's basically like a little boy, or a child. I don't want to say boy, like a little child, and a prodigy of sorts. He's able to be influenced by his surroundings, and there's shots of him getting... I'm just going to call him for lack of a better word. And
it's played by a boy, so...
Oh, there you go.
It's played by the same guy from District 9.
There you go. So he's being read bedtime stories. You know, they're trying to teach him, educate him. Just the people that are taking care of him are trying to show him what it's like to be a good person. Meanwhile, we see clips of little kids throwing shit at him, trying to burn him. You got Hugh Jackman trying to hunt him down and kill him. And the only good people are Slumdog Millionaire and the lady that looks like Switch from fucking Matrix. It's just, it's unsettling to me. Like, it really got under my skin watching this trailer. And I'm just thinking to myself, man, fucking people suck.
I love that you went Slumdog and not Newsroom.
Right. Which is back on the air as of last night. Thank you. What's his name again?
Dev Patel.
There you go. Dev Patel. Such an easy name to remember.
We joke about it all the time. Like, you know, I think we'd be more like Hugh Jackman because we're like Terminators, dude. Like, the second you create artificial intelligence, it's like, it's a game over for us because eventually they're going to realize what, like, insects we are, and then we're destroying the world that they're now, that they've now just inherited because they're the new gods. Mm-hmm. So, you know, kill them all.
I don't know. I just get so bothered that people can be so mean, and it makes no sense to me. Did you guys, has everybody watched the trailer now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I think it looks amazing. I got a big time Johnny Five is Alive vibe when he's like talking to like the gangsters and stuff like that. He's like talking about like shit, like a gun. And he's got like the bling bling. So I'm with you, man. I'm on board with this. I think it's going to be great. And I think it's going to be sad when Hugh Jackman melts Chappie.
I just couldn't get on board with the way that the robot is portrayed. Basically as though it's a child, because I don't really think that actual artificial intelligence would be like that.
It wouldn't develop like a human would.
Right, exactly. I don't think it would start out like a child that didn't know anything and then would evolve into an adult. I think it would just be
right
all of a sudden.
That's how we're supposed to relate to it. Now, we're instead of seeing a robot, we're seeing a kid. And
right.
That's the
but
thing.
But that
it's like when you watch
takes
Wall-E.
Me out of it.
See, I'm the opposite. It puts me into it. Like, when I watched Wall-E, I was like, wow, what does it really mean to be human? Do you need flesh and bones to be human? On paper, yes. But then when I'm watching this little guy, I'm immediately in love with him, and I feel like I would do anything to protect him. I think that's
right. Well, I think artificial intelligence, I mean, I think it can be a little bit of both. I mean, he might know facts, but I mean, facts only get you so far. You know, he may have like a basic, I mean, maybe Slumdog didn't have, you know, the full spectrum of the internet to plug into him. Maybe we're in a time to where the internet's not really a thing. Maybe he was able to upload him with like, you know, basic knowledge. Like, I'm sure he could probably fly an Apache helicopter, but he doesn't know how to talk to people, or he definitely doesn't know about He-Man. He definitely has to watch He-Man.
I was going to say, he knows how to pull the sword out of his back and say, by the power of Grayskull.
Yeah.
It looks silly. It looks like it'd be worth watching, but it's going to be sad. It's going to be sad for the same reasons that, like, E.T. was sad.
Mm-hmm.
Social commentary like a mother.
It's different. Kill it.
Let's go on to something not stupid. Walking Dead.
Yeah.
What is this about? What is this show about? I don't know anything about it. It's like zombies. Amanda, you're right. You write weekly about it. What is this Walking Dead about? You review it. Pitch me on this show. I think it might go places.
Why are you talking about it like you
have no idea? I have no idea. I was trying to be fun.
He hasn't watched it since the first episode.
Now I feel stupid.
Meanwhile, he's friends with Robert Kirkman on Facebook.
He loved me.
Oh my god, you're friends with Robert Kirkman?
I am. He friend requested me.
Oh my god.
I'm like, I'm in an exclusive group with like 1,900 other
you're
people.
You're so popular.
He went to bat for you at Comic-Con.
He did, for us.
For you.
Oh, okay.
He's like, I don't know that guy.
He was pointing at Brad. He's like, I don't know Brad. This guy, he scares me.
Walking Dead. What happened?
Anyway, Walking Dead. So last night's episode was centered on that military guy Abraham. As such, I couldn't completely decide whether I like objectively thought it was a good episode or not, because I don't really feel connected to Abraham as a character. I think because he's so new. And probably part of the reason why they had this episode was so that we could get to know Abraham more and understand his motivation more and why he's such a hard ass. And, I mean, now we understand why. But, and I guess it was interesting how his story unfolded in a way. But at the same time, I felt like it was also very repetitive. Mm-hmm. Because he lost his whole family and it broke him. And then he clung to this mission to go to DC. It was literally the only thing that was keeping him alive. And then he finds out it's a lie. And like the whole losing his family thing, like this might sound like heartless and callous.
We're used to it, Amanda.
Exactly. We're used to it. literally everybody on the show has lost people that they love. In a horrible way. And so it's like, well, what makes Abraham any different? Like, we've seen this story over and over and over again. And so it didn't feel very compelling.
My problem was, I think this episode was in the wrong place. We were left with a pretty exciting episode the last week.
Yeah.
And I would rather see that resolved and then have a cool-down episode like this.
Right.
Than have what happened last week and then not visit it at all.
Right.
That's upsetting to me.
I agree. That's another reason why I didn't like it. It was because it's putting off the conclusion of what's going on with Beth and Daryl and Carol. Mm-hmm.
And that was one of our three scenarios that we didn't know who was coming back with Daryl. And it's probably the kid that got away.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we said it was either going to be Beth, it was going to be Carol, or it was going to be somebody from wherever Beth was being held.
What was that kid's name? I can't remember what his name was.
I don't know, but I think it's interesting. Every time a black guy dies on the show, they have another one replaced.
Yeah.
They got one waiting in the wings.
Yeah, that's
well, whenever they introduce, yeah, whenever they introduce a new black character, you know that somebody else is going to die.
Yeah.
That is their replacement.
That's nuts.
What about Randy? You got a list?
You know, in fact, I do have a fun list.
Hit me.
All right, so today we have 10 iconic characters nearly ruined by their creators. Number 10 on the list, Doctor Who was originally going to be a supervillain. When he was first conceived of in the 60s, they wanted to kind of create a fun family show with a time-traveling central character, but he was going to be portrayed as somewhat of a Superman in space, but in order to prevent some horrific future from happening, he would have to go back in time and basically kill everyone from that particular horrific future. So although it would be with good intentions, he would be kind of a maniacal supervillain. So that's kind of a fun version of Doctor Who to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, Indiana Jones was originally going to be a pedophile. And I'm not even making that
what?
Up.
No, so that is 100%
it's,
false.
It is established. It's established
that
in
can't
Raiders
be
of
true.
Raiders of the Lost Ark that Indiana Jones and Marion Ravenwood had a little tryst at some point in time, 10 years before then. Now, originally, Lucas wanted to have somebody younger than Karen Allen playing the role of Marion Ravenwood. He wanted the girl to be about 11 at the time of the affair. But yeah, Spielberg was very much against that, and Lawrence Kasdan, and they said, well, why don't we make her like 16 or older? And Lucas was very much against it. He says, no, it's not going to be interesting if she was over 16, which kind of puts you into Lucas's head and makes you say, what the fuck, right? But anyway, they ended up kind of coming to a compromise, and her character was 17, while Indiana Jones was 27 when they had their first romantic involvement. So, which is still technically breaking today's law, it's a little bit less frowned upon because she's damn near 18.
No way that's true.
I don't know.
Where are your sources?
I've heard, well, this is coming from Listverse, but I've heard that before as well. Because I am very on top of the genesis of how Raiders of the Lost Ark came together.
All right, but, so I need the three of you to do me a favor. we are one day going to interview George Lucas. He's on the list, and we're going to... I need you guys to remind me that that is my first question to the man that I've idolized and loved my entire life.
Okay? Was Indiana Jones going to be a pedophile?
Verbatim. All right. Yeah. Shortest interview ever.
All right. This one you may have heard before. Number 8, Luke Skywalker was destined to be the new Darth Vader at the end of Return of the Jedi. So everything was going to play out the same up until the point where... Vader pitches the Emperor over the side, and Luke kind of ends up turning to the dark side, puts on Vader's helmet, and says, "Now I am Vader." And it's interesting because there are those who believe that Luke has gone to the dark side in the next movie. It's all speculation. It's not even really rumor so much as just people kind of hoping at this point, so that's why I didn't throw out a spoiler alert. So that's kind of interesting, and that's something that... that several people wanted to see happen, but Lucas was very much against it, wanting to keep it a family film. It's for kids, he says. The same guy who wanted Indiana Jones to have thrown in a kid. Yeah. So that's kind of fun. This is another one that's fun for the whole family. Number 7. Originally, in Star Trek The Next Generation, Deanna Troi was going to be a triple-breasted piece of eye candy that had pretty much no worth being on the bridge of the Starship Enterprise. She wasn't going to be the empathetic heroine ship counselor. She was just going to be random eye candy with 3, possibly 4 breasts.
Let's be honest. That makes Deanna Troi 1,000 times more interesting and a better character.
No!
A 3-breasted hot Deanna Troi?
No!
Oh, man.
Don't be a sexist asshole.
It's nothing to do with that. She's just a terrible character in the first place. Most interesting about her is that she married Riker.
I thought she was good.
And she boned Worf.
Yeah, I had
she's
the hot
spot. She is defined by her male counterparts because she's a weak character. That's not sexist.
I disagree.
There are many who would probably disagree with that point of view, but you know what? Hey, everybody's entitled to their own point of view. Moving on to number 6.
Randy the Diplomat.
Originally, Dr. No... Bond's infamous villain was going to be a monkey. Yeah.
Okay.
I got nothing.
I got nothing.
I don't even know what to say to that.
He would have been a monkey with exceptionally high IQ.
Like Gorilla Grodd?
I don't know. I'm thinking more like Planet of the Apes. So, number 5. This is a fun one. Harry Potter would have been the father to the next Dark Lord. And who knows, it could still happen.
Hmm.
We were just talking recently about possible spin-offs from the franchise. That I would love to see. That would almost kind of have a prequel flavor to it, though. Young kid, you want him to be good, growing up bad.
Rebelling right. against your parents. No better way to rebel against your like famous dad than to be like everything he fights against.
Exactly. All right, number 4. Apparently, Sonic the Hedgehog had a human lover.
Oh.
It was a blonde woman full of cleavage wearing a red dress that would follow him around levels. This is apparently something that never ended up making it into the game, but it would be established that that was his girlfriend. Her name was Madonna, and she was 100% human. Digging a little hedgehog loving.
Like Brian from Family Guy.
Now, here's... Rods. Yeah, here's another one from Next Generation. Commander Riker died and became a clone. So apparently, in the sixth season of Next Generation, there was a plot thread where they found Riker's absolute doppelganger, his total double, right? And
he somehow got like split in a transporter accident, and there were 2 Rikers.
He was
exactly the same, or something.
Well, the thing is, though, his personality was different. It was like a completely different take on the character. Picture it kind of like the Mirror Mirror episode of the original Star Trek series, and they were considering seriously killing off the Riker Prime character and have just this clone, this bad seed of a Riker kind of take over as a way of reinventing the character. Luckily, they didn't go that route. But knowing Next Generation and how some of those episodes were, it wouldn't have surprised me. Did you know that number two on the list here, Batman was originally going to be Birdman, and he wasn't going to have any of the cool stuff that made him iconic today. He was just going to have a big set of wings, and he was just going to blend in with a bunch of other superhero characters that were invented in the 30s.
Bob Kane let us down.
It was little-known writer Bill Finger who came on board and made Batman who we know and love today.
And he gets no credit.
And while we're in the DC Universe, number one on our list is Superman. There, at one point in time in 1940, they were going to completely kill off Clark Kent. Basically, something was going to happen that was catastrophic. Clark Kent would have to turn into Superman in front of Lois Lane, thus ditching any pretense of having his secret identity, and then he was going to have to live out the rest of his life just as Superman, and Clark Kent would just kind of fade away. He would never be able to don that secret identity again. But then again, if all it is throwing on some clothes over your underoos and putting on a pair of glasses, he could make any other type of secret identity for himself at a point later on down the road. So it's no big deal. But I don't know. Do you think that would have hurt the Superman character? Just have him embrace who he is and not have to lead a double life?
I like Clark Kent.
I think it's fun. I like the dynamic.
And I mean, it's not. And I mean, I know you're making an exaggerated point, but you know, I kind of see it like how Batman and Bruce Wayne. You know, when Bruce Wayne puts on that cowl, like a switch clicks inside him to where he's no longer Bruce Wayne, billionaire. He's Batman. To where I see Superman doing something similar. He puts on those glasses and he becomes like the stumbling idiot.
It's that over the top switching your ball cap around scenario. That's right. You turn it on.
Right. So you know what's up.
Hell yes. So we got a game up in this piece?
Heck yeah, we got a game up in this piece of something. Now, we all love Jeff Daniels, right? I love Jeff Daniels. You guys love Jeff Daniels. What's not to love about him? He is a versatile actor. He has the distinction of playing one of the most brilliant characters ever invented in Will McAvoy from The Newsroom. And he's kind of played the dumbest character in the world in Dumb and Dumber and Dumb and Dumber 2, opening this Friday, Synergy, Harry Dunn. And so I thought it'd be fun. I'm going to give you guys a quote, and you guys are going to tell me if that is Harry Dunn or Will McAvoy.
Perfect.
Pretty simple rules. Once you think you know the answer, go ahead and shout it out. Remember, though, if you're wrong, you don't get to answer again, and you've just given the next person whoever's fastest the correct answer. This is Thunderdome. There are no rules. So if you think he had the wrong answer, just pipe in and give the right answer. All right.
All right. What are the names of the characters again?
Harry or Will. We'll make it easy. It's Harry Dunn and Will McAvoy. You give me any variation on that, and I'll count it as a win.
All right.
Let me get RJA. All right. Number one. You know what really traps my ass, though?
Harry Dunn. I spent my entire life savings turning my van into a dog. The alarm alone cost me $200.
All right. Here we go. YouTube, take it down.
Will
it is. Either from Dumb and Dumber 2 as well.
Oh.
In case you're wondering how.
We haven't seen it.
Well, some of us have. All right.
Not the people playing, son of a bitch.
Well, you can. That's something that Harry could have said. All right, moving on.
Son of a bitch.
For God's sakes, just give me the damn number.
Harry Dunn.
Harry Dunn it is. All right. Not a high school cheerleader, a professional cheerleader.
Harry?
Will McAvoy.
Will McAvoy it is.
Damn it.
No, it didn't. The Pentagon is a really big building. You can't levitate
Harry.
It.
Harry.
Will McAvoy.
All right. It's a cardigan, but thanks for noticing.
Harry Dunn.
He rode a donkey.
Harry Dunn.
Nope.
Will McAvoy.
Oh, shit. Oh, you're Randy first.
Woo! Sniping for the points.
Randy on the board. All right. That didn't sound like something that should come with a warning. That's something that should come with the balloons.
Will.
Harry.
Harry.
Who else's body have you guarded?
Harry Dunn. No, fuck, that's Will McAvoy. Nope. Son of a bitch!
Ah! At that point, Amanda Bynes
when he got the new bodyguard in season one.
Yep, and he got Terry Crews.
Yeah.
All right, now Justin is one, so and I don't do golden snitch rules, so this one's just for fun, guys. Yeah, I called her up. She gave me a bunch of crap.
Harry Dunn! She gave me a bunch of crap about not listening to her or something. I don't know. I wasn't paying much attention.
Justin is the winner. Never gets to play. When he gets to play, he comes to play. And, yeah, he killed it. Six. Randy and Amanda tied for two. Good job, guys.
Six? Six is good.
Six is good. But game, nice, short, fun. Thought we'd have a little fun with it. But, yeah. Sweet. Anybody got any shout-outs or anybody they want to say thanks to?
I'd like to give thanks.
To who?
I don't know. Thanksgiving.
Our friends over at NinjaBot are doing another fun Kickstarter.
Yes.
This time it's princess-themed. And I have actually
I think it's fairy tale.
Participated. Or is it fairy tale?
Yeah.
Okay. I noticed a lot of princesses on there.
There are a lot of princesses in fairy tales.
You know what? There certainly are. There certainly are.
Look at everybody giving you the business today, Randy.
Yeah, fuck it. Okay.
You got it from all three sides today now that Amanda chipped in there. it's a rare day when Randy gets the hat trick. Justin and me, we get the hat trick all the time. So you're in the club, Randy.
All right.
So, sorry, Randy. You were telling about their Kickstarter that I interrupted you.
Yeah, check it out. You can get to their page, which will in turn take you to their Kickstarter through the fun little banner at the top of the Geek Legacy website. Check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Ninjabot!
If you like fun artwork and supporting good people, they are the best of people. So by all means, check them out.
Yeah, should have worn my boom button at BlizzCon.
Yeah,
forgot.
My pow button fell off. You believe that shit? That boom boom pow.
Someone jacking your style.
Mm-hmm. Bunch of motherfuckers. Oh. We love NinjaBot. They're fabulous. They've been on the podcast twice.
Yeah.
And our names are in their fucking coffee table book of prints.
Yes, they are.
Oh.
We're Leet.
I don't think your name's in it, Dave.
Damn it.
You can be Geek Legacy. Amanda's in it. I'm in it. Randy's in it. Jared's on the back. Quoted.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty prestigious place to be.
Mm-hmm. Wait, where?
On the back of the book.
What book?
Their coffee table book of all their prints.
Oh, right. Oh, I forgot. I never even looked to see my name in it.
It's in there. I saw it. In fact, the package came when I was recording the Pixelated podcast. I'm just tearing through my package. Steven's talking, and I'm just ripping through my mail all excited. It's me, the professional.
It's like Christmas.
Yeah. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I got a package.
He's all,
I answered the door while he was talking, and I came back and opened up my mail. I was excited. I wasn't expecting anything. And it had my name on it in print. I was like, holy shit, I'm somebody.
The FedEx man brought it himself.
Give him my shit. Actually, it was the USPS.
Oh. And it still made it there?
Yeah, you believe that? My fucking mailman's a snake. I've gotten birthday cards, and they're opened. And whatever was inside, its contents removed.
He's like, there was no money in it. Don't worry.
Yeah. What a jack.
You should report him.
Well, I don't know if it's him. It's somebody in the post office, though.
Here, what I'll do is I'm going to mail you something, and I'll put a $10 bill in there, and we'll code it in, like, iridescent glow in the dark paint, and when you see the mailman, put a black light in his hand so you can see if it was him.
Yeah.
I saw that on Fraggle Rock.
That's random.
There was an episode where one of the Fraggles, like, beats or something kept going missing, and she couldn't tell. She's like, where are all my beats? And then so she soaked everyone's hand in this special juice, and then the guy she thought it was, she did the special thing, but his hands didn't glow, but hers glow. She was sleep eating.
Uh-huh.
So it was telling the tale about, you know, don't jump to conclusions. But yeah, well, I had fun. Hope you guys had fun. As always, you know, we got Tim Byers at thefullbleed.net. We got Tony Tolato at scifitalk.com.
awesome dudes. You should definitely check out their stuff because their stuff is cool like our stuff. We had a great time hanging out with them at Comic-Con, and Justin actually does a podcast with them about every month called Everything Geek, which is definitely worth checking out. Of course, we've got our buddy Andy B doing the Flash podcast. He's talking about Grant Gustin, the Scarlet Speedster, and all the magical CW action that goes around that show. And then we got a couple little shows on our Geek Legacy Network. We've got the Comic Corner podcast with Tyler and Jeff, the Mighty Jerd. And it's actually an amazing show. I don't say actually like you would think it would suck, but it's really informative. I mean, even though I don't read a lot of the books that they review, it makes me want to. Pixelated Podcast, we got Justin, we got Steve, and they entertain me too. You guys.
Not an amazing show like the Comic Corner, but we entertain you.
No, you guys are good. You guys are a good little duo. You guys play off each other well. You got, I see you rubbing off on Steven a little bit. He's letting a little. He's come a little more edgy stuff going through. You know, I'm just waiting for the day he lets a C word slip or something like that.
Oh, I know. He let me talk about Bobby Brown snorting cocaine off of Whitney Houston's corpse.
There you go, baby steps.
I'm surprised he let that slip or let it stay.
Yeah. Must have forgot. But, yeah, listen to all the shows. They're all amazing, even us. And please rate us on iTunes. That's the best way for people to get a hold of us. If they see a podcast that's got a bunch of 5 stars, they're like, oh, this is something I should check out. And then, of course, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and any comments, questions, concerns, complaints, gripes, bitches, moans, and pisses, info@geeklegacy.com.